Thank you. You have borne with my infirmities. And now may I ask one more favor of you. If you can and have a little place in your heart, that you might ask God that he might be with us again. I wasn't expecting this. We thought maybe we'd get by, but nevertheless, we always want to be submissive to our brethren, and whatever the lot is ours, do the best we can. Thought that came on my mind this morning, the brother mentioned my name. I picked up the Bible and turned to it. I didn't know just exactly which chapter. But it deals with a thing that took place a long time ago, but very important. Our Lord had been with his children about 3.5 years in a public way, teaching and confirming and establishing them in the things that they should do after his departure. And all some learned faster than others, but it takes about 3 years of constant study and consistently searching to get established. And you can take a man and pick him up right quick, even though he's very zealous, and put him in the harness himself and send him out, and he may not have the right directions. So in ordaining men, let them have some time to become established before you put him in the harness and send him out, because he needs directions. That has been one of the failures in some places that's given lots of trouble to old Baptists. But the Lord didn't send these out without supervision. He sent them out 2 by 2, and not in the sense of fully turn them loose until after they'd been with him about 3 years, a little better. But he was soon to leave them, and this further things that he had to do. And the time of the Passover had come, and they made the inquiry. We might begin reading at the 22nd verse of Luke. He gives a record of it. However, Luke was not present when it went on. He was not an apostle. He is one of the 70 also, evidently. But he gives a full detail of the things that went on, being one of the witnesses that God had sent out. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captain how he might betray him unto them. Now that is some of the things that went on among the people at that time, and we know that we might get the sitting in our minds and the circumstances that was then on hand. Now we'll begin with the 7th verse especially, because we just wanted to know or see what had took place or was taking place just before this. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entering into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master said unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now that's reading through beginning the 7th and the 16th verse, 22nd chapter of Luke. Now in this, there is something we want to think about. There was something done that had been going on for a long time, ever since Israel left Egypt. And there was a very, very unusual service in this. God had given the order how this was to be done, by whom it was to be done, and what was to be used in this service. There was to take a lamb in the first year, a male, without blemish, and the whole house of Israel must slay that lamb. That is a very odd, or might I say unusual, expression. And we might think, now, the whole house of Israel must slay this lamb. Then we can begin to see that it was for the sins of God's people that brought the death of our Lord, the Lamb of God. All of us had a part in that. I hope we had. I hope I did. I'm confident you did. Because that's what brought the death of our Lord. He died for sin. And in that we see the figure, the type of our Lord, even back there some 1,200 years or thereabout before he ever put his foot on earth in bodily form. He is with his children back there in spirit, and was with them in night as a cloud of fire. And we find in the day as a cloud, I believe, a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. And one thing about while they was journeying all the way through the wilderness, even though rebellious, when they built up that tabernacle, when that cloud stayed over that tabernacle, Israel better be quiet and stay there. But when that cloud moved, you better get up and move. Now that was something that the Lord was with them all that time. Now the thing of it is that this time had come a closing out of one day or age or a world. Christ came in the end of the world to put away sin. We know there was one world that perished with the flood. There's been several worlds, and if we don't see but one, you'll never get much out of your religion. But we know that coming to a close of a dispensation, and the Jews had been doing this year by year, and the time had come for it to be closed out, the Lord said, do it, and the Lord closed it out and set it aside, never to be done no more after that night. Now that is what lots of people fail to see, that the law was unto John, law and prophecy, since the kingdom of heaven has been preached. There's a change of dispensation. And we see that these things must be fulfilled and set aside, and our Lord did this, and this service was closed out that night. But in sending these brethren into the city, they was inquiring, and I believe God's children are inquiring people. Have you ever asked yourself, what is right before God? What wouldst thou have me do? God's children are inquiring people. These were inquiries. And just as sure as you go to him, as a humble beggar, beggars are not turned away. You go to demanding, you may be refused. But a lot of difference between demanding something out of the Lord and coming as a humble beggar in your needs. And whenever we come to this, he says, go into the city. And you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. You won't find him out yonder in the quagmires of filth, down yonder with the mice at the baseball game or some other place of amusement. You'll find him here in the city bearing that pitcher of water. And the reason that lots of God's children don't find the more than they do, they don't go to the right place. There's a place for you to live. There's a place for you to have the things you need in your spiritual life in the world. But it's not every place. Now, whenever he comes to this, he says, you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. And where he enters at, you follow him. You enter that too. And I believe I met that old fella a long time ago. Believe he gave me a drink of water. He didn't give me that large upper room, but he showed me where it was at. There, I believe, is the ministry in figure. And just be sure, whenever you follow him and enter where he's entered, he'll show you that large upper room, the church of the living God. It's above the world. It's not down on the low level of the world in its carnality. Your thoughts is above the world. Your ideals are above the world. Your moral attitude is above the world. And your heart has been lifted up and centered on other things, heavenly things, better things. And even your thoughts is above the world. It's just a higher order. Then the world, hence the church, was set up in that large upper room above this low level of the world. And you'll have to go up to it. You don't never go down to the old Baptist church. You go up to it, little child. And you know, when you find a man who thinks that it's just a little bit below my dignity, he just got things upside down. That's exactly what's the matter. If you ever see the church, you see it up. You'll see it above the things of the carnal world. And whenever he says, he'll show you this large upper room. There, make ready. One place, I believe he says, a large upper room furnished. You don't have to bring things with you. It's already furnished. And everything the Lord gave the church she needs. Anything else is excess baggage. And you know God's children are traveling people, and too much excess baggage will weight you down. You'll get foot sore. You'll drop out of the race. But you need everything the Lord gives you, and it's essential and needful, but excess, or more than that is, as we said, excess baggage. Now, not but deviating a little bit, but long during the time of the war, about the time Hitler was running so rampant, I was going up the street one day, and a man overtook me and popped me on the back with his hand and says, preacher, what are you going to do when Hitler comes over here? Put you in a concentration camp. What are you old Baptists going to do? I said, well, you're not looking for him, but if he comes, there'll be a way. There's always been a way that God's children could get along even under very, very strenuous and critical times. When I turned to him, I said, how are you going to get along? You know, to lug that $50,000 pipe organ down there with you, it'd be a job. They won't have any typewriters down there. You can't write off your sermon. I was just about going to eliminate your service. He looked at me and he said, I never thought of that. But the old Baptists, they could hold their meeting down there on a ditch bank. You can hold it under a shade tree. You can't stop them, that's it. Why, when they had this old man there in England in jail for 13 years, John Bunyan, there's as many as 12,000 people had come there and by daylight to hear that man preach the gospel through the bars. And even though the anger of the king, if they'd have turned him loose, somebody would have pounced on him and killed him. But God overruled the wrath of man and protected the old fella. Because they wouldn't let his enemies get to him. He's behind bars, and yet he kept on preaching. God has so arranged this thing, child, you can get through some of the least little cracks. But if you got all the superfluous baggage, He'll hinder you. He'll stop you. He'll just wear you out. God put everything you need on the inside and use it to His glory and to His praise. But this large upper room that He showed them was a church. And there make ready. He eat a Passover that night. He eat a roast lamb. There's all there. And while eating that roast lamb, and that is where a conversation or a thought or a statement was made. One of you will betray me. And the question was asked by different ones. Is it I? They never come as pointing a thing at somebody else, but it is it I. You know, we're too quick all time to point the finger, but we pointed sometimes the wrong fella. Now, never one of them there was bragging about how strong he was, how great he was, but am I so weak, or am I the imposter? Am I the fellow that's just been, you might say, deceived in this whole matter? Is it I? But he says, it's to he to whom I give this sop. And a sop is a piece of bread dipped in gravy. Where did that gravy come from? The roast lamb. And he gave it to Judas, and he immediately went out. That means right then. And he says, what thou doest, do quickly. He didn't say, what I sent you to do. He is on his own hook. The Lord didn't send him. That's one thing you can't blame the Lord with. And I don't believe the man ever knew the Son of God as being the Son of God. He only knew him as a man. A lot of ideas about that, but we won't go into that. But he didn't think much of the Son of God. But there's one thing about it. He wasn't there in the Second Supper. That's what I'm getting at. He is out selling the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. He had a right to be there in the first, and because he's a circumcised Jew. But little child of God, that don't give you qualification just because you've been circumcised in the flesh to sit down to this new supper, what we call today the communion supper. Must be circumcised on the inside. It's a higher order. And just because a man was born a Jew, that don't give him no right and title in the spiritual things of God. Because they which are born of the flesh are not the children of God. They have to be a second birth. Now when we come to this, the only way that you can become a member of a family in relationship is by birth. There is no other known method under heaven. And once relationship is established, it never once been severed. You cannot destroy relationship. Never has been done. Then the man is arguing about, oh, you can be a child of God today and not tomorrow. He ought to stop and think. Never has been done. Would it be wise for you to believe something that never has been done? You see why old Baptists believe that when you're born in the family of God, you remain a child of God. You may get a lot of stripes on your back, and a lot of them do. But I never have had my father or mother to get after me and give me the switch, which it did oft times. It didn't keep me from being their child, but I learned this, that the way of a transgressor was hard. There's a better way. The switch never did give me no ability. Had a lot to do with my will, though. Had a lot to do with my will, but it never did give me no ability. And we learn, little child, sometimes the hard way. So much better to go on and obey without having to take the switch and then go on and have to do it. You know, little child, we learn, but sometimes, as we said, the hard way. But going back to this, once relationship is established, and it only can be established by birth, and there's not a man in this whole nation that had any voice as to what family he'd belong to. If so, I'd have been John D. Rockefeller's son or Henry Ford's or somebody. Because in my father's house, there wasn't too much of the world goods. But thank God there was a love of calf farming. And even after I was born in that family, my mother didn't just abuse me and cuff me around. Oh, it's just up to you now, make it. Or you have to fall out of the race. Why, you know, God has so arranged this thing that about the time that little child gets hungry, mother gets burdened. She don't get no relief till that child gets relief. And little child of God, the ministry that's in the right frame and my right spirit of the thing is just as burdened as the little child is. And he don't get no relief until he's given that child what God has given him for the child. And the child didn't get relief. It's a mutual service. It's a mutual service. Wouldn't it have been a bad thing if a little kid laying over in the cradle, mother busy? Well, I don't care much where you eat or not. Just up to you. You never would have made it. Lord, don't treat you that way, little child. He loves you and he's arranged for you. And the mother, which is New Jerusalem, and the church is an expression of it, the new covenant. And under that little child, there's provisions for you. Love don't forsake. Love don't deny. And when that child is crying, mother hears that child. She don't say, if you want some meat, come on over here. Mother reaches that little child, those arms of love. Not only reaches to it, but reaches beneath it. Bring that little child this breath of consolation. And the ministry today is the breath of consolation of the church. For the church is fed, nurtured, and strengthened, and given the things she needs. That is how that God has so provided. And while the Lord was with his church, nurturing the church, establishing his church, and this ordinance was set up in the church, then you're too late to say it wasn't set up on the day of Pentecost. If it was set up on the day of Pentecost, he didn't do it, he had it done. But the Lord didn't say, I'll have my church built, I'll do it. A lot of difference between having a thing done and doing it yourself. But the Lord says, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll have it done. Now, the thing of it is, this was something that was taking place while it was closing out one day, while it was opening up another day. Just as fast as the Lord had filled up the old ordinances of the old day, the law day, he'd bring in the ordinances of the new day. He didn't leave you idle. He didn't leave you to waste your time. Now, as they were there eating both suppers, and you watch that, you read the Levitical priesthood on that. I believe it's in Exodus, rather. And see what went on, and then see what goes on in the New Testament church. Bound to be two suppers, because he didn't mix law and gospel. And if you say they're all mixed up and juggled up, you can't separate law and gospel. Now, that's exactly why so much confusion sometimes among God's people. But nevertheless, whenever it come, as that was set aside, never to be done no more, he opened up a new day, a new service.
This concludes side one of this cassette. Please stop the tape and turn it over at this time for continuation.